Looks like we should be able to get to.
Did you
the second phase of consciousness was economics?
Here, one second. Sit down. Did that help anything on those dwellers? For devotees who wanted to be part of the scene, but that didn't. But one thing I'm thinking, so that it won't, because everybody can say that. Let them do the proverbial, put their money where their mouth is. So it's that if what were you sorry, 100 rupees a month?
Yes.
To be part materials of the same. Yeah, materials is separate, but I'm just saying. So it's a matter of then they should, pay for that time. If they're going to, they want to be part of the thing, they can only be here 3 months and all that, then let them pay for, for whatever it is, the year or whatever it is, you're going for 6 months, let them pay for that. Because then you know that they're serious. Otherwise, everyone will want to get involved. I would say because then the whole point is then they can write you and stuff like that, and it's worthwhile because that money can be used for paying for, email accounts or, anything that needs to be, taken care of by expenses of establishment that are entailed in dealing with them on the correspondence level. Yeah. You tell them that's for this establishment. The education's free. You just pay for that. You be sure you're so serious, and then 100 rupees is nothing. Okay. And that would then make it better.
It's a tester.
They don't have money. That's another thing. Russians or something. But still, it's not the. In other words, we don't want to spend the time in doing that and having to put together all the materials at this point if they're not going to actually take advantage of it. It's just they'd like to, but first come with the classes and just see them.
There's only one verse left, and then we've got verses which we memorized, and then we're on the third chapter.
Yeah. So hopefully tomorrow we'll finish this chapter.
You might as well just start from the third chapter.
Huh?
You might as well just start from the third chapter. It's just one verse.
Oh, okay. We'll go on to that and just go right into it. These are all ones that we've already gone through.
Yeah, these are just ones that are useful for memorization.
Oh, okay. And then there's the homework assignment. Okay. So then tomorrow we'll just mention this one, and then we'll just go right to the third. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Fine. Okay. Cool. Yes. Anamoy, pranamoy, manamoy, vijnanamoy, anandamoy. You heard of that? It's more, you'll see it in Gita and Bhagavatam. It's Upanishadic more than Nectar Devotion. Pratyaksha, it means, Prabhupada uses it as the sensual platform, extended sensuality. Yeah. Animals, scientists, anything that you just are dealing with the senses. Anamoy means, I am rice. I am food. So that's where it starts from. Yeah, I am food. Then the next stage is then the child, because everything goes in the mouth, right? So then after that, then the next stage, you notice there's other living entities. This one's called mother, and it's more than just food, right? And then there's this thing called father, and then it expands from there. You have siblings to harass, and, stuff like that. Then manamoy is then they start contemplating, what's right, what's wrong, what's this and that. Then the next level, vijnanamoy, is desire to know what's going on. The platform of actually understanding that we're the soul, not the body. And anandamoy means you understand the transcendence. Because that is their purpose. Anandamoy doesn't necessarily mean they're completely situated there, but that's their motive, that's their drive. Though anartas will be dharma artha kama moksha. You could also say is kama is anamoy. Artha is pranamoy. they say dharma is manamoy, the vijnanamoy is moksha, and then bhakti is the top one. So that's what I'm saying is that extended sense gratification is pranamoy. And in extended sense gratification, to have it means you're concerned for others' sense gratification. That must be there must be justice and morality and economics. Right? If you enjoy yourself, it doesn't take much. You want to enjoy with others, that's where the money comes in, right? You know, you need to eat something, you just eat it. But if you want to feed somebody else that, then you have to have a place to feed them. Right? Yeah. Extended sense gratification, yeah. The sense gratification, extended sense gratification. Then there's the emotional platform, then the intellectual platform. Does that make sense? So there's so many ways you can look at these five. They're different, aspects of the same ones.
Because I listened to yesterday, so I was thinking, did he talk about that and I missed it? Or
no, we bring it up regularly.
So sometimes you'll say...
It's something we commonly reference. Yeah. Because your anamoy, pranamoy, manamoy, vijnanamoy, you can also categorize as two forms of sense gratification, the mental platform, emotional platform, the intellectual platform. You can also count as dharma, artha, kama, moksha. You can also take it as kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, and brahmin. Right? Because shudra's interest... The brahmin's interested in knowledge in the soul. Kshatriya is interested in dharma, establishing religious principles. Varnashram. Varnashram is also manamoy. The Vaishya is interested in economics, justice, morality, right? Because if you're not moral, then you steal from him. There's no justice. If you have stolen, how does he get his money back? Right? And the only reason he's doing all this is just so that he can make money. Right? And the Shudra is interested in their art, expressing themselves through the senses. Does that make sense? So like that, then it has many, many ways you can apply it. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah, okay.
Just in response to saying, like, devotees, did you say Ananda Moj? Like, my personal experience, I've been trying to practice Krishna consciousness, is probably more...
That's maybe where we're situated, but your purpose is to get yourself to that. So therefore it's counted like that. It's just like the person in the shower is counted as being clean, though they're in the process of cleansing themselves. You can say, well, actually they've only scrubbed their head and their right arm. You know, still they got the rest of the body, but it's still the process is going on. You don't complain that the person in the shower is dirty. Discussion is over once they step into the shower. You can say they're dirty as then pointed out until they get it. But once they get in the shower, it would be improper to point out that they're dirty. Right? Yeah, but you have to be realistic about where you're going also. If you're not realistic about that, you'll get distracted by these secondary items of where I'm actually at, because then you start to say, well, I'm actually at here, and so actually this is me, and so it's actually not so bad, and so, you know what I'm saying? It's got to be, this is where I'm going, this is where I'm at, so therefore I draw a straight line between where I'm at and where I'm going, and the arrow is on the where I'm going side.
But don't we need to realize where we're at?
Of course, that's what all these discussions are for.
Otherwise, we live in a delusion thinking that we're something that we're not, and that can be just as dangerous.
Yeah, it is. As long as we do devotional service, that is, but you have to be very, very careful, because then the problem is if we're really realistic, where are the limitations on finding realism? We find it with ourselves, but are we also then, do we make it a cause to find that realism in everybody else, which generally is there. So we start these, you know, self-made, you know, crusades. So we have to remember, Jerusalem is also important to the Muslims, like that. And they were all living there peacefully together. But then somebody has to come in and say, no, we're the only ones that are got it right. And so then they fight over this you know, a few, you know, how you say, I don't even know how big it is, the Wailing Wall, and right next door, the Dome of the, or the or Dome of the Rock or something like that. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like from here to those trees over there, you know? And then they've been killing each other over that for thousands of years. So it's like...
So our divided thinking, we see our own nature, but we're always looking for the good in others.
If you can do that, that's what you should be doing. The tendency is we look for the good in ourselves, bad in others. Or we find the bad in ourselves, but we also find the bad in others. Or we find the good in ourselves and the good in others. But very few can find the bad in themselves and the good in others. That's what we're trying to get to. So, therefore, both are... So, if one goes on in ignorance, then the worst that could happen is they could fall down into sense gratification, right? But the person who is critical can fall down into Vaishnava aparad, which can completely destroy whatever advancements made. The person who falls down into sense gratification, whatever they've done is not lost. Like that. It doesn't go. It doesn't matter how much moral turpitude has been, you know, how you say... performed, it will not remove devotional service. So only the moralist thinks that. That's why in the beginning of Nectar Devotion and the beginning of these other scriptures by the Acharyas, the first thing they do in their preface is kick out the moralists. The book's not for them. You're a moralist? Book is not for you. Put it down right now. That's how they start. It doesn't mean that the devotee's not moral. But moral means what is actually good for Krishna. That's real morality. The mundane morality has its position because Krishna's made it, but it only has value because it's connected to Him. Right? But the whole point is what's his name? Ashwatthama? What has he done? So now you could say he's not a Brahmin, or that he did that. You could even say he never was a Brahmin. That would be the modern contemporary platform. But actually, what was the reality? He was a Brahmin who made a serious mistake. But it didn't in any way, it meant that he had to correct that mentality mistake, but it did not in any way drop him from being a Brahmin. So those who know Dharma, you know, because that was the whole point, is, okay, Bhima wants him killed, and Yudhishthira wants him saved. Right? And you have to fulfill both their needs. Right? So according to Dharma Shastra, then the Brahmin would be insulted in this way and banished, but not corporally punished or killed. Right? And you don't take his possessions. Right? That's the rule. That's Dharma. But we don't find moralists talking like that. Moralists will say, oh, they never were. Or now, oh, that's when a Brahmin doesn't do that. Yes, a Brahmin doesn't do that, but the point is since when is the mode of goodness pure? So that kind of mentality is very unprogressive. Like that. You know? Because the bottom line is well, if they can get away with it, then I could get away with it. So therefore, to maintain my faith, I have to say, well, actually, they're going to hell. That's why I can. They're eternally damned. Therefore, I can accommodate that I'm not doing it, and they did do it. That's the actual bottom line. It's for the faithless. This mentality, this position. We can say, well, by that mentality, I don't want to associate with them, I don't deal with them, I don't interact with them. That's fine. Because in that state of mind, it's there. But if that state of mind's been corrected, then it's corrected. You know? The gold ring is nice and shiny. Oops! Oh, it fell in the mud. Oh, it's eternally damned. Throw it away. No, you wash it off. So that's why the moralists are not smart, because it's actually mind. It's not intelligence. And it's mind with senses, not mind with intelligence. Because their worry is the senses. Their whole focus is on the sense gratification, not on the principles of devotional service. Otherwise, they can talk all day about details of how the person fell down, but I don't hear them talking about the details of devotional, the process, and how that affects that and how it should be avoided. Never. So therefore, we say it's mundane. It has nothing to do with devotional service. Absolutely nothing. In fact, it's against devotional service. It's not even the external, because even they're counting morality. Are they talking from the Shastra, or they're talking about from their Judeo-Christian background? And I would even say they're talking from the Christian background, because that's the one thing, is Jews do accept that people have bad days, right? In the Old Testament, there's not one. I mean, maybe Abraham. I think other than Abraham, there's no one else that didn't make a mistake, and some of them serious mistakes. I mean, serious. Moses didn't get into Canaan because he didn't have faith in the Lord's name. So he didn't go in. Right? Jacob, Joseph, they all did something weird. But they can accommodate that. Everybody has a bad day. But in the New Testament, zip.
But didn't Jesus say to that woman, you know, when they were criticizing at the well, he said, let him who was without sin cast the first.
Of course.
Wasn't he pointing out that?
He's pointing out, but you have to remember, well, he was Jewish. He wasn't Christian. He was Jewish. Important point. Right? All the original Christians were Jews. They were Jews that were being infused with life in the Shastra rather than being smartas. He was trying to teach them how to follow the scripture with some devotion rather than just as ritual. You know, of course, the smartas didn't appreciate it, but, you know, so they were there. So the point is only when it expanded later and it became a political stand, of the Holy Roman Empire, then they adjusted it. Then you actually had Christianity that was divorced from Judaism. Otherwise, before, they followed Jesus was a rabbi. You know, they followed all the high holidays. You know, it's just the way it worked. But they took his angle on. He was their acharya. Like that. So that's the whole point. Does that make sense? Is trying to get beyond it's the devotion, it's the life. So that's why then even if someone has done something wrong, okay, it is wrong according to the scripture, but are they willing to change? Do they want to change? If they don't want to change, then yes, then you can say the situation is bad, this, that, blah. But if they want to change, then the criticism has nothing to do with any scripture anywhere, actually. It's just one's own satisfaction that I am better because I'm not doing it. Or, even more subtle, is I would like to do it, but to keep myself from doing it, I'll criticize those who are doing it. Or, even more fun, is I will start up this crusade because actually I have done it in the past, but to cover up, to make me feel good, to cover up that I was also just as bad, therefore I'll start a whole crusade against those who have done what I myself have done. But I'll finesse the part about myself. That's even more fun. So most isms and crusades are actually carried out by the third category of persons. Like that. Because the point is broad-minded means you're able to accommodate. It doesn't mean you drop your standards. That's the difference between broad-minded and liberal. Liberal means you have no standards. They change according to whim, what's popular. Broad-minded means you have fixed standards, but you're able to accommodate people who are not at the standard, and you're willing to put in the time and energy to help them get from where they are to the standard. That's broad-minded, because broad-minded means they can accommodate the liberal and the conservative. While liberal means they're narrow-minded liberalists. And conservative means they're narrow-minded conservative, because they can neither accommodate each other. So they're narrow-minded. So only the middle is broad-minded. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole thing. So So morality is important because of its connection to Krishna. Right? But only for that. It's just like being a vegetarian doesn't stand on its own as important. It's only important because that's what Krishna likes to eat, and we eat his remnants, right? Does that make sense? You know, if he ate bicycles, that's what we'd be offering. You know, but he doesn't. You know, he eats vegetables and rice, so that's what we offer. Does that make sense? You know? The Vedic music, because that's what Krishna listens to. The Vedic clothes, because that's what he wears. You know, the Vedic concept of beauty, that's because that's what Krishna likes. So that's what we do. It's not that on its own, you know, the astrology or the vastu or, you know, the Vedic music or this and that is important. No, it's only important because it comes from Krishna and it's what Krishna likes. So that's why it's important, not otherwise. Right? You know, is the Nike shoes, running shoes, important? You know, is the company Nike important? Or is it because these are, you know, the child's shoes, therefore when I see those shoes, therefore it invokes the sentiment and remembrance of the child? Is it because I love Nike, or is it because I love the child? Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Is that why Krishna also chooses to break morality sometimes, just to show us that actually that's not the means?
No. He always does that. Even though he'll do it, he'll be doing like Krishna is there the whole time. Yudhishthira is supported through the whole Mahabharata. But at one point, he even pulls that into question. Because the point is what is it? Is it him or it's the rules? That's the bottom line. Who's more important, him or the rules? You know, he may have made the rules, but are the rules important because he made them, or are their rules are important because they're rules? You know, they're nice rules, they're pious, they're good, they're nice, you know, all these different things. Like that. Does that make sense? Okay.
I just thought regarding that question you'll ask when you said all that duality since that happens. I just was thinking maybe it's the same question what Arjuna was. He got those doubts to fight or not to fight.
It comes from the same principle.
Same principle,
but not necessarily the same source. Because there that doubt would come from the mind, the heart like this. Here it means that these are coming from the back of Krishna. Mm-hmm. You know, so his back is your religion and all these different things. Does that make sense? But the same concept of where you have duality. So it's mundane, because in the spiritual world there is no duality. It's all transcendental. So it's just a matter of, at this moment, what is the best way to serve Krishna? You know what I'm saying? It's cold. Therefore, we build a fire. It's hot, so we use a fan. Does that make sense? So it's all nice. It's just that you just find what's there. So Krishna wants to taste sitting around a fire, so therefore it's cold outside. But Krishna wants to taste that it's hot and, you know, being fanned and sitting in a swing or drinking cool drinks or taking bath in the river. Right? So therefore it's hot outside. It's only because it creates the situation in which those things that please Krishna are appropriate. Does that make sense?
Does Krishna manifest those possibilities, so to speak, from the backside for his entertainment, or just because he knows that he's going to live in his...
Point is when you have internal, you have to have external. If you have light, you have to have shadow. Right? And between the shadow, there's always a joint. So the point is... there is the shadow, so that means if you have good, automatically you have bad. And you automatically have that position that can be either in good or in bad.
No one would say that God gets pleasure out of
it. No, it doesn't. No, it's just, it comes automatically.
It's just part of the shadow.
Yeah, when you cook a sabji, you don't get peels and other things like that. So it's just automatic. Just that when you have one, you always have the other. It's just like that.
It's a real big thing in the world that people blame God for the mix.
Because
if there's a God, then how can all this be happening?
Yeah, well, but if there's a God, then why aren't you trying to find out what he wants? I mean, if all this mess is happening, if you go out, let's go out into the middle of some, you know, natural environment where there are no people. Is it terrible? Is it disgusting? You know, you can't breathe the air, you can't drink the water. You know, it doesn't look nice. It looks like a nice, you know, I mean, it's nice. Everything's in order. Everything works perfectly. So therefore, what we can understand is, okay, so maybe it's not God. Maybe it's the human beings. And then if that is so, then if everything's going wrong and getting worse, so doesn't that happen when you are doing something wrong? So therefore, the results come worse and worse. You know, it's like you've been pulled over by the police. Okay, they'll come and talk to you. Now you talk bad about them. Oh, you get a ticket. You come out and get physical. They put handcuffs on you and put you in thing, and take you down to the station and put you in a holding cell. You may get violent there, then they put you in a more special cell. So it means the more you go on, then you're saying, oh, these guys, these police. Okay, you can do that, but what happens if when the officer pulled up and you said, you know, oh, I, you know, something, and then you're gone, and then everything's fine. So the whole... Yeah, if you'd just been, you know, well-behaved in the first place, things would have gone fine. You know? So that's the point, is that they're it's easy to blame God. You know, why don't they blame someone else? Yeah, they won't blame themselves.
I wanted to make a big billboard with one of, you know, like, beautiful scene of nature that God made, and then a disgusting city that's smog, and also, and what man made, you know, we just like have it.
Yeah, and then at the bottom say, who's got the problem?
Exactly.
Or who is the problem?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy that people can't see that, you know, it's ours that's looking right there. Because like you say, go amongst nature and everything.
Yeah, that's nice. So that's that's the thing, is that they want to blame themselves. I mean, blame someone else, because they can't blame themselves.
Well, it's like responsibility, because that means
you
have to change,
right? Yeah, but it's like, if I've surrendered to God, see, that's why we also say it's economic. I've surrendered to God, therefore everything should go nice for me. So if it doesn't go nice for me, then God's doing something wrong here, because I'm doing everything right. You know, I went to Mangalartik, I chant my rounds, you know, I take Prashad and all that, then how did this calamity happen to me? Right? So that's the whole point, is that it's religiously based, but actually one's approach to religion is artha, rather than one's approach. What Bhagavatam's trying to say is your approach to religion should be moksha or bhakti. You know, bhakti is a thing, but you go through moksha to get it. So that's the naishkarmya. But, and what it says not to get involved is doing dharma for artha. But that's the common platform, because that's what basically all world religions are, is artha. Is that it's be nice, be good, and then you'll get a nice result. So if I don't get a good result, so the point is that the karma is still coming from previous, but it's slowing down. So if you get some bad reaction, that's from what you've done before. But the idea, as soon as I surrender, wipe clean. Okay, that's okay. But if you completely surrendered 100%, then it would be wiped clean. It's not that things wouldn't happen, but you wouldn't care. Because material energy is material energy. You know, it's just like the person, you know, falls off the building and then surrenders to God, it doesn't mean they won't hit the ground. You know?
Well, even the bad things are from God as well, which they like to teach us.
It's from God, but it's actually from us. God's arranged it that your fingers aren't meant to go in the fire, but if you put them there, they'll get burnt.
Well, that say, like, the Pandavas, you know, like, weren't they innocent, so to speak? You know, they suffered so much, but wasn't it just Krishna's direct arrangement so that he could set up
it is.
Thing so he could do his thing?
Yeah, yeah.
So for devotees, like, even tribulations and...
Yeah, given by God.
You know, they're given by Krishna, because, you know, it's not necessarily...
No, but generally there is a connection why it's that specific kind. It means the Pandavas ignored the Purushottam Mass. Therefore, they lost everything. Yeah. Okay.
One point for this one is was Chanakya mentions in the Shastra that not in the operation mentions that there's a chariot, like a chariot has two wheels and a dragon, and that's why it moves on. If you have only one, it wouldn't work. So then it's similarly say that one wheel is the activity of the man and the other one is the blessings of God. So that you need both to function. Without your destiny, your good karma, you wouldn't get the result. But unless you do the work, you wouldn't get the result either. Yeah. Except the both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because God gives blessings for those who are active. How do you bless something that doesn't work? Act, you know. I bless this column, yes. You know, so it has to be active. Is that okay?
Okay.
Right? Okay. So, gotta get our priorities straight here, right? There you go. Yeah. There you go.
This is
bizarre, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you, Maharaj. This is Boga.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, okay. Wow. I once tried to grow the Israeli dates.
They don't grow in India?
Well, I put them in a pot and they suddenly forgot to water them.
They're nice.
Yeah, no, they're very good.
And here's my card.
This is your card.
So, on the back there's my phone numbers and the email is the same as in the card.
Oh, okay.
So if you just, you know, really... If you saw about it, then something.
Yeah, I mean, I won't know until the summer.
Yeah, sure.
Like that, you know. So we'll see. And this year, maybe, maybe not. I'll see. But I'll, you know, eventually try to work it in.
Yeah, but, please.
Especially if they worked out this thing that they were harassed you getting in. But.
No. It's now. It's really different.
Oh, okay.
No, it's really good. Different. I think the whole system just changed because of that. I don't know, government, and,
okay.
You know, different, you know, many things happened since then. You visited 10 years ago, actually.
It was 10 years?
97, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Still, it's been going on for 4,000. Palestinians are pretty stubborn. Or you could say the Jews are pretty stubborn, one or the other, then, you know.
Oh, awesome.
God did give the place to them.
Yeah, but they try to kick everybody else out of the place.
Yeah, that is there. That's there.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.